Okay, so let's just review what we did yesterday. So we're doing Shnei Mikra, and basically the Gemara says that a person should always complete his parshas with the tzibur. Shnei Mikra v'echad tirgam, twice in the reading and once the tirgam. So it's an obligation. Fine. It says, because any person who does this, who finishes his parshas with a tzibur, his days will become long. The days and years will be long. Okay, so the question is basically we dealt with yesterday is like, what's the deal with this whole chiyuv? Where does it come from? What is it? What's the address, so to speak, of this institution? Why do I have to do it? What's the idea of doing it twice in Mikra and once in Tirgum? What does it mean I should finish my parshas? What does it mean? What are my parshas? Where do I get my parshas from? What does it mean? It's like kind of a given that I have parshas, whatever that means, and you should finish your parshas with the tzibur. What's the whole, you know, where does it come from? So we basically said, in a nutshell, that we based on the, there's an Aruch HaShulchan, I mean, we basically had a few sources, a Sefer HaChinuch, an Aruch HaShulchan, and we looked at the Rambam, that basically, that one thing we saw from the sources, it seemed, is that this is an extension of the Takana of Kriyas Torah. That when, let's say, Moshe Rabbeinu set out to Kriyas HaTorah, laning, so that the tzibur should be involved in laning, and this is what the Sefer Chinuch says, that tzibur should be involved in learning Torah. Because Talmud Torah, he says, is the basis of everything. If you don't have Torah, you don't have anything, you don't know any of the mitzvahs, you don't know anything, so you need to learn. So Moshe Rabbeinu set up that Klal Yisrael would always be involved in learning through the tzibur, laning. But additionally, there's the halacha that the individual has to go home and involve himself in a more thorough way. In the learning of the Torah, okay, it's a more thorough involvement in the Torah, and this way he'll be able to gain more insight. So he said basically that the mitzvah comes under the halacha, the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is to learn Torah shebichsav. Okay, a person's mitzvah to learn Torah. Part of learning is learning Torah shebichsav, the chumash, the Torah. Everything is grounded in the Torah, but the Torah, the Chazal didn't leave it just open ended. Parshiosov means your parshas, means you're learning Torah Shavasav. Okay, but the Chazal did not leave it open-ended that you learn Torah Shavasav at your own pace. I mean, that's also true. You can do whatever you want. But it became codified. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu codified the Tzibor's learning of Torah Shavasav, he codified your learning that you as a Yachid, each and every Yachid has to align their learning of Torah Shavasav with the Tzibor. And if the Tzibor is doing a parshas Bahar, then you have to be doing parshas Bahar. Okay, and you have to do it, and that's the method. What they did is he fixed a good method of learning Torah Shavasav, which is, first of all, when the tzibur is involved in it. That's one idea, is because everyone's involved in it. So, like, for instance, everyone now is discussing Parshas Bahar. You're a part of a tzibur, part of a whole, and you're collectively involved in the parshas. So this way we work our way through the Torah together, and therefore that spurs conversations and learning as a group. And the idea of Shnei Mikra v'Echad Tirgum, we said, is that first of all, the idea of Simon Chinuch we saw is that there's one thing is you hear the laning at shul, and that's good. It awakens you to the parsha, but it's quick and it's not at your own pace. Then there's a personalized learning of that which is being involved in shul. So the idea of Shnei Mikra is the way it's a model of how to learn Torah Shavasav. Okay, it was formalized, a formalized model of how to do Torah Shavasav. So and this is, I guess, the case with a lot of books. Which is that first you read it one time. Just read it one time. The first time you read it, you kind of get a feel for what it's about. Okay, so you read it one time, and you get a sense of the basic overall picture of what's going on. Then you read it a second time, which is you come back, and you are more careful, a more careful reading of the thing. Right? And then you're in a position, the second time you pick up things that you don't pick up the first time. The first time you read something, you just get an overview of the thing. The second time you're already familiar with what's there, and you could have more probing eye to be able to pick up more on the details of the thing. And then, since our Torah Shavuchsav has a corresponding Torah Shmalpeh, then you do a Tirgum, which is a further way to get deeper insights into what the Pesukim are saying, which is that you see the Torah Shmalpeh on it, which is Unkelos, which is the Torah Shmalpeh on the Pasuk. So it's basically, it's the model of Shnei Mikra Tirgum isn't just an arbitrary thing, but it's given into the Takana of Shnei Mikra Tirgum is a formalization of a person's limud of Torah Shavuchsav, and it's formalized with the tzibur and through this methodology of two times mikra and one time tirgum. Okay, and a person is being that a person is obligated to recognize that his learning is he can't just say I want to be my own guy and learn on my own pace because people don't end up learning that way. So the idea of the Moshe Rabbeinu formalizes this thing is that if you leave it up to people's own devices, a lot of people won't be learning. So there's a takana which was set up, which is mechayev everybody to be involved in this minimal learning of Torah Shabbos Av. And then this form. Okay, and now you can't just say, I want to do my own parshas at my own pace. And a person realized, we said, that he has long life, so it is partially we could explain is that it means that a person oftentimes wants to feel like he's his own guy. You know, I want to learn my own thing, I want to do my own thing, you know, my own person. But that's not the idea of Torah, of Talmud Torah is not just that you want to have a good time learning Torah, there's an idea of they're part of a greater system of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is involved in propagating the Masorah and in communal learning of Torah so that we maintain the Torah. And therefore, a person has to recognize his place within the Klal. And as such, he has to recognize the primacy of the Klal and of the learning of together with the Tzibur. And you are involved at the same time as the Tzibur and the Barsha. And that's and the person, it could be a Marichon Yom Shon, so a person who is too rooted in the self has a very stressful, frustrating life because the reality doesn't live up to that. But insofar as a person recognizes his place in the universe, in the world, as a component of a larger klal, so it could be that the Arichos Yamim is a qualitative Arichos Yamim, that his days are more in touch with the reality of the world, and therefore it's a greater quality of life. Okay, but that's a little more, you probably could say more about that. Yeah. The takana of learning, there's a takana of Tekriya B'Tzibur, which is 3 times a week, or every 3 days. That's part of the takana of learning Torah. But that's in the Tzibur. So that's an idea that Tzibur is involved. And Tzibur is involved. It's a quick thing. You hear it. And in fact, I think the way the Rambam informs is that you shouldn't go through this without Shmias HaTorah, without hearing the Torah. So it's just a hearing. It's a different, like that's what the Sefer Chinuch said in his intro. It's a different type of a thing. You gain more when you, think about it experientially, when you hear the laning versus when you sit down and do Shnai Mikra. You know, you sit down and you read it on your own. So the hearing, it is good. It awakens you to certain things. You notice certain things. But it's a different type of learning. It's passive. You're hearing the Tzibur laning it. There's a difference of you going down and involving yourself in a more thorough way, and especially in a Shnai Mikra V'Chatirgam type of way. You know, you're really doing it in a personal, thorough type of way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, that was the basic. So now let's do today. Okay, so now the Gemara says, the Gemara has an interesting point. It says, so that's the bottom of Chesam and Aleph and the top of Chesam and Beis. A person should always complete his parshas with a tzibur. Ve'afilu ataros v'divan. Even ataros v'divan. Okay, that's it. Even ataros v'divan. Of course, what does that mean, even ataros v'divan? So ataros v'divan is a reference to a pasuk. Okay, where's the pasuk? Pasuk is in Bamidbar, Lamed Beis. So it's basically a parsha that's talking about the Bnei Reuben and Bnei Gad. Okay, so they came to Bnei Reuben, came to Moshe and Elazar, and they said the following. Ataros, this is the pasuk. Ataros v'divon v'yazer v'nimra v'cheshbon v'el alei v'svam v'nevo v'on. So it's identifying 9 cities. Okay, 9 cities. Okay. And these 9 cities, so what does it mean? So this pasuk, even saying, even this pasuk you have to do in Shnai Mikra V'Chatirgam. So what do you mean, even this pasuk? Well, it's a pasuk. Why would this pasuk be any different than any other pasuk? So Rashi says, V'il Torah Divan She'in Bo Tirgam. There is no Tirgam. So what does that mean? If there is no Tirgam, what do you do? How do you do it if there's no Tirgam? Well, there's no Unkelos. Well, it's kind of funny, because in ours there is. It says, It translates these cities into more modern terms. Nachlelta, Malbeshta, the Chumran, whatever. But presumably in the Tirgum that the Gemara had, or in Rashi had, it had, it just said Ataros, Vedivon, Yazir, and Nimrod, their names, their proper names. So it just said it. Like when, for instance, in the Pasuk, Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, in the beginning of Shemos. In the Tirgum, in Unkelos, it says Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. It's the exact same thing. There's no translation of it. They're just their names. So presumably, that's the way Rashi's, or the Tosas also. It seems the Rishonim didn't have this translation. But basically, it says there's no Tirgum. So what then do you do? Right, what do you mean? So what do you do? What do you mean? Even Ataros, Vedivon. So the way Tosas interprets Rashi is that you have to read it three times in Hebrew. That even, Ataros Adivon, means even that pasuk you have to do. What do? You read it a third time. You do two tmikras, and then the third tirgum is just to read the pasuk a third time. Which is kind of interesting. Why would he do that? That's not tirgum. Right? So that's what he's learning it means. That's what he's learning it means. Okay. Fine. Well, why don't we take that up? Let's analyze that before we go even further. I mean, that's the way Tosas. Rashi doesn't spell that, but Rashi Tosas. Pirush Rashi feel Tosas Divan she'in bo tirgum shtarach lekrosu shlosh apam be'evri. You have to read it three times in Hebrew. So, can we explain that? What would I think? Apparently, there's Avmina. I would think that you don't have to do that, the tirgum. You don't have to read it three times. You just should never go on that pasuk. There's no tirgum. Kamash malah. No. That when you have a pasuk that has two times mikra and it's the same thing, then you have to read the pasuk three times. Okay, so what's the idea? Why would I think not? And what's the conclusion according to Rashi? It's not clear, by the way. The other Rishonim, the Tosa Rosh, for instance, seems to learn differently. That no, the pasuk only has two times; you only have to read it two times. There's no tirgum. There's no tirgum. And this Gemara, he learns this Gemara differently, which we'll get to. Avi or Avram?
Avi.
So Avi says, so he says, good. So the Avmin is very simple. Is that Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum? So you only have, there's no Targum here. So it's Shnayim Mikra. What are you going to do? There's no Targum. So that's Avmin. Right? That's what I would think. Kamashwan Afilu Atoros Adivan. Then no. Even this Pasuk, I have to somehow replace it by Targum. It's a good question. Is that Rashi? How's Rashi going to read the Gemara? Yichayv to do Shnei Megavecha Tirgum, even Ataros Adivan. What do you mean, even Ataros Adivan? Oh, Ataros Adivan, you do three Megras. But that's not even Ataros Adivan, Shnei Megavecha Tirgum. Even Ataros Adivan? Well, that's not. No, that's what you mean, you can't do Shnei Megavecha Tirgum, but instead you have to do three Megras. Well, how does that read into the Gemara in the Shnei Megavecha Tirgum, even Ataros Adivan? It's not even. It should say, Filu, V'im, Ein Bo, Tirgum, then, Sarach Lomar, three, Shosha Palm, Megras, something like that. The question, so maybe the question is like this, is that, just to formalize what I think where Sammy's going, is that, how do you look at Shnei Mikra V'echa Tirgum? Is it pshat that you have to read it, you have to read basically the mikra twice, and then you have to input the interpretation from Torah Shabbat Pah? Because you must include in your mikra, in your two readings of mikra, is that which the Torah Shabbat Pah adds to it. Okay, it's like two plus. It's like Shnei Mikra, and the Tirgum is completing the mikra. By filling in the interpretation, Torah Shabbat Peh's interpretation of the words. So therefore, it's like it's mashal in the mikra, so to speak. The third time is enhancing the two mikras. Is you're giving it meaning where the Torah Shabbat Peh has meaning. But Torah Shabbat Peh doesn't add anything, so then you just do what it says. You read it already two times. You just that you have to add the enhancement of the mikra. Of the tirgum. Of the Torah Shabbat Peh, where there is one. If there isn't, there isn't. So it's two mikras plus whatever the Torah Shabbat Peh has to add. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Kamash Malan, no. It's three readings. It's Shnei Mikra Tirgum is three different readings. You have to read the mikra twice, and then you have to read the Tirgum. What does it mean to read the Tirgum? It means you must read the Torah according to the Tirgum, according to the Torah Shabbat Peh. How does the Torah Shabbat Peh read the Pasuk? What's the way the oral law tells us to read the pasuk? So read it twice in the literal words, and then read it a third time through the eyes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. But it's a third reading. So if it's a third reading, you can't leave out a pasuk. If it's another reading via the Torah Shabbat Peh, so when you cut, just like if you read a book in a different language, you got to read the whole book. You can't leave out a sentence in the middle of it. That's not reading. So the reading of the thing, if you're reading the book or the parsha through the eyes of the Tirgam, so now when it comes to a pasuk Atar Sadivon, so you'll say Atar Sadivon, right? So it's Shleimek Bechad Tirgam, Afilu Atar Sadivon. It means it's the complete thing you have to read in the Tirgam. The Tirgam is a separate reading, and therefore you have to read everything. It's not just, the Tirgam is not just an enhancement of your Mikra. Where it need, then it would only be where it needs to be enhanced. Where there's no enhancement, there's nothing to do. But if you say that it's a third reading, so now that it's a third reading of the parsha, so you can't have an incomplete parsha, so even a Torah Sadivon is going to be included in that third reading. Okay, because it's a third reading, that's what it's teaching you. It's not just an enhancement of the Mikra, because then it's the, if you're reading the same thing, it doesn't enhance it. You're not doing anything, not, right? But it means that what is the book, the Tirgam, according to Tosh Balpa? So the Tirgam, sorry, what is the parsha according to Tosh Balpa? So the Apostle, Tosh Divan, that's the way it reads. You with me? Kind of like, it's just like I would say, if you wanted to read Vaidaber Hashem Moshe Lamar, you say there's no Tirgam for Hashem and there's no Tirgam for Moshe. So you say Vaidaber El Lamar. I mean, because all his child. Of course you can't do that, because you're reading the parsha according to the Tirgam. So it has to be Umalil Hashem in Moshe Lamar. That's the way you read that's the way the Tirgam reads the Pasuk. Right? And that's the way the Tirgam reads the parsha. It's one unit of a parsha that you're reading through the eyes of the Tirgam. So you can't leave out a pasuk and then you're not reading another reading according to the Tirgam. But the other way to learn it, presumably the way the Rosh would hold, is not three readings. It's really two mikras, which must be enhanced. Your second mikra or your mikras have to be enhanced with the additions of the Tirgam, with the interpretations of the Tirgam. So when the Tirgam has something to add, then you enhance the Tirgams with the Torah, the Mikras, with the enhancements of the Tirgam. Where there is nothing to add, so then you just write your two Mikras, and then you're fine. Right? Okay, so now we got Tosas. So Tosas, yeah, question?
I'll just do recap.
Okay, good. Now let's see Tosas. Okay, so Tosas doesn't like Rashi. Okay, he says, Tosas says, Tosas feel Tarsa Divan on Chasam Beis. So Rashi is laying, you have to read a Torah Divan three times in the Hebrew. Vikasha, I might not get a Torah Divan, Shishlomi Kalmakam Tirgam Yushalmi. So why is it that the Gemara cites Atoros V'divon as opposed to Hayulalom Ruben Shimon of Psukha Chinashim Batirgam Klal? It should have, there's different types of Psukhim that don't have Tirgam. There's Ruben Shimon Levi Yehuda, which has zero Tirgam. There's no, they're very, see, apparently there's Tirgam Unkelos, which is like, I guess, the most authentic Tirgam. And then there are other Tirgams, Tirgam Yishalmi is another Tirgam Yonos HaMenuziah. There are different Tirgams out there. Okay, different commentaries.
Doesn't Rashi
count for you? That's a question. The Rishonim bring that up. It's a machlokas, but it's a good, on the surface, it's not Tirgam. That's the kind of what's, but it, there are those who say it counts. But for now, let's just say, the way I'm using Tirgam means like translations, you know? So Rashi is, I'd say, more of a commentary. You know, but the Rashi, I think the Rashi says that Rashi counts. But it's a good question how that works. It does, but for the time being, we're talking about the Tirgam in translation. So there's Tirgam Onkelos, Tirgam Yonos Simon Azil, Tirgam Yushalmi. So there are different Tirgams. So on this Pasuk of Matar Zadivon, so there's no Tirgam Onkelos, but there's a Tirgam Yushalmi. Okay, it could be our Tirgam Onkelos is maybe just ripped off from Tirgam Yushalmi. I don't know. Like ours happens to have a Tirgam Onkelos also. But the point is that there is other Tirgams also. There is some Tirgam on it. But a pasuk like Ruven Shimon Levi Vihuda, there is zero Tirgam on it. Okay, there's zero Tirgam on it. So why, if your point is to say, the whole point of the Gemara was to show that when there's no Tirgam, you should just read the pasuk three times. So it should have picked a case where there's zero Tirgam. Why pick a case where there's kind of Tirgam? But there's other Tirgams. So therefore, Tosa says, I'll tell you why. How you, right? Yeshlomar mishum hachi nakar atosu divan. Afagav she'en bo tirgam yedua, even though there's no known tirgam, ella tirgam Yerushalmi, right? Yeah, just there's tirgam Yerushalmi. V'tzorach l'kros gimel pamim ha'ivri, and you'd have to read, because there's no actual tirgam, there's no tirgam Yerushalmi, so you'd have to read the pasuk three times. Mikal makam yoser tov l'kros pam shlishas b'tirgam. You're better off reading the third time in the Tirgam Yerushalmi. What I'm saying is that the pause is saying is that even a Torah Sadivon, which doesn't have the real deal Tirgam Onkelos, still you should read it Shnei Minachat Tirgam. I mean, still you should do the third Tirgam from Tirgam Yerushalmi. Don't worry so much if you have Onkelos, you have Tirgam Yerushalmi. That's also okay, and that's what the Gemara is teaching you. saying is, it's kind of funny how he's saying it. It's like, really, you have to do it three times. But there's a better way, and that's what Gemara is teaching you, that even if you don't have Tirgum Unkelos, but you have a different Tirgum, you should do it. Apparently the Havmina held, it's Tirgum Unkelos or bust. There's no other option. Right? But he's telling you no. That the Gemara is teaching you that Tirgum Yerushalmi counts.
What's Tirgum Yerushalmi?
So I don't know the history of it, but it's in this Chumash you have it. I mean, certain Chumashim have it, certain ones don't. But apparently it's an alternate. I don't know who wrote it.
It's
Aramaic. Yeah, it's also Aramaic.
Isn't that
the Yonatan
thing they have sometimes?
You're talking, no, well, I don't know. The Torah Yonatan also. Yonatan Ben Aziel.
That's something else?
Yeah, I think it is, because I have a Chumash here that has all three of them. Unkelos, Yonatan Ben Aziel, Yerushalmi.
Oh. Aren't they talking about Yonatan Ben Aziel and Gemara?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't really know the history.
So Yerushalmi seems like it's pretty authoritative, though.
What?
It seems like it's pretty authoritative. It's brought down with Gemara.
Is it what? Yonatan Tirgum Yonatan or Tirgum Yerushalmi?
Tirgum Yerushalmi.
Yeah, but this is Tirgum Yerushalmi.
But he actually has a different. He has a Targum for these words. That's what's going on.
Yes. Tirgum Yerushalmi has mechalalta, meshabeshta, mechavar. But this basically means it's like a naming of the places, maybe in the Hebrew Yerushalmi version of the words. You know, again, our Unkelos also does. But my feeling is either there's a manuscript that was found after the time of the Rishonim, or somehow they just said, "Hey, there's no Unkelos, and there is a Yerushalmi, might as well just throw it in and Unkelos." You know.
But would Rashi agree with Tosfos that it's better to do it with the Tirgum, or would he to read it through?
It doesn't seem like Rashi holds by that.
Right.
Doesn't seem like Rashi holds that's the thing, you take Yerushalmi. I know it's a good question why. I mean, maybe that's part of our question, but it seems like Rashi holds no. Rashi holds no. The question is, so how do we understand the Aminoskan according to Tosos? I mean, what's the conceptual Chiddush of the Gemara according to Tosos? I would think if there's no Tirgum Unkelos, that's it. Nothing else counts. You got to read the Pasuk. Gemara Shmuel, no, Tirgum Yerushalmi also counts. I mean, if it's not, it's also funny. Is it real? Is it not real? Like, what kind of thing is this? Is it? If it's a real Tirgum, then what's the difference? Why is Unkelos the only thing? If you'll say somehow Unkelos is the only thing, that's only real Tirgum, so then how does this work? There's just some guy. I mean, definitely you can't just have some random guy who just decided to translate the thing. Actually, it's funny. Tosus brings that up. He brings up, he says, maybe if you have like some other translation into English or whatever, and some language people understand, he says it doesn't work. Because the Tirgum really explains things that you don't necessarily know from the Pasuk. Right, like sometimes Gemara says, if not for the Tirgum and this Pasuk, we would never know what it meant. So he says, therefore, you can't just use any other language. It has to just be the Tirgum. So what's the deal? So is the Yerushalmi an authentic thing? If it's authentic, then why would I think not? So then if it isn't authentic, then why does it work? Like, that's what's kind of funny about this thing. Unless that's what those are teaching you, that is authentic. I mean, it's a funny. It's like, how do you learn this Gemara? How do you learn what the Gemara is teaching us? So the Tosa Rosh says it a tiny bit different. He says, because there are certain nuskhas, certain texts that actually have a Tirgum, like ours. V'gam v'Yerushalmi hu k'Tirgum, and even the Yerushalmi also has it. Right? Ulka hach pirish nukat tos divan alf pish ein sorach kolkach b'Tirgum. Even though it doesn't need Tirgum that much.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's not so widespread.
Let me just a slight elaboration of what Yonah's saying. But right, that you would think, I think this is the way you think of it, is that Shleim Mikra Vecha Tirgum means you read the Mikra twice and you read Unkelos once. What's Unkelos? Unkelos is the book. It's a text. There's a text called Unkelos. It's a Sefer. You know, we haven't put it on the slide, but it's a text. There's a fixed text called Tirgum. And you have to read that text. Okay, so now if there is no Tirgum on that Pasuk, so the text doesn't have anything. All the text of the Unkelos has is, Taurus of Divon, it doesn't say anything. So that's the way you think of it, is that there's Tirgum, it's just like the Mikra is a text. The Unkelos is a text, and the text of Unkelos doesn't have this Pasuk, certain versions of it, but it's like it's something which crept in. It's not really part of the original text of Unkelos. So Kamash Balon, that's not the Mikra is a fixed text. Tirgum is the Torah Shemal Pez interpretation of the Torah Shemal Ksav. That's what Tirgum is. It's not a text. It's an interpretation through the eyes of Torah Shemal Peh. Now, yeah, Unkelos is the one who codified it, and he did a great job, and he's the one who we use. He's the best, and he's the one that we use. But if there's a pasuk which Unkelus didn't write anything, but we have other Balei Masora and Torah Shebaal Peh who did give a comment, did give a translation, a Tirgum, so then go for that. Because why we're not fixed to a text, it's not a text, it's no, you don't have any specific thing, the book called Unkelus, it's the concept of Tirgum, means the Torah Shebaal Peh is an explanation of the thing. So the saying is that we're better off, there's two options. We could just read the Mikra three times and say the Torah Shebaal Peh just doesn't have anything to say. Just Torah Shebaal Peh reading of the thing is just to read the Pasuk again. Or we could say Tirgum Yerushalmi, that's the some other Balei Masora added in, Opi the Masora added in that this is what it means. So therefore, you should go for that. The field towards the Yivon means it's not just Tirgum to the book called Tirgum. It's an idea of the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is more expansive than the particular of a book. You know what I mean? That's what's teaching. So it's true. It's true, Avi, what you're saying is like, is it just Tirgum means that, or does it mean, you know, any other choices also? But the import of that is not just what does Tirgum mean. The import of it is showing you the concept of like a difference between, let's say, Mikra and Tirgum. Whereas Mikra is a fixed text, Tirgum is really, it's like a body of knowledge of the Torah Shebaal Peh on the Pasuk. And therefore, you're not limited just to one. Of course, you can't just go by any random guy who decided to translate it, like some guy who just translated into English. I mean, but this is in the Masora. There's certain versions of Yerushalmi of Unkelus even have it, so it's legit. It's a real thing. It's really from Balei Masora, and therefore this is the Torah Shebaal Peh's interpretation of the Pasuk.
So what's the
Havamim Masgana there? So the Havamim is that Tirgum is a text. Tirgum is the text called the Book of Unkelus. Okay, that's what Tirgum is. So therefore, if you have a Pasuk which doesn't have Unkelus doesn't translate, then all of the book of Unkelus just has Mephal, you know, Taurus, the Divon, it just has the Pasuk.
Right.
So the Maskana is
why
no.
Why would you think you have to stick with Unkelus?
Just because
he was...
Oh, no, because you'd say that Tirgum is a text. No, it's not like you're sticking with him. What does Tirgum mean? Tirgum, there's like an official... You'd think there's an official Tirgum of the Torah.
But why would you think that? Just because he's...
Well, I don't know why you think of that. The Gemara is teaching you that's not the case. I mean, that's the way you normally think of it. I mean, that's just the way you think of it. The Gemara is showing you is that Tirgum... Because you may... I'll tell you what. You may think that the mitzvah is codified. So when you have a mitzvah in general, the mitzvah takes on a specific form. So you may say that since the Tirgum of Unkelus was the best one, so they codified it and said you have to read Mikra twice and a Kriya of Unkelus the third time. So look, there are other guys out there, but they codified, yeah, he was the best, he was the earliest, but it became codified halachically as a fixed text. Right, Kamash Malan is they never codified it. They simply said Tirgum, and Tirgum means Torah Shebaal Peh, so therefore Unkelus, yeah, they said you should use Unkelus because he's the best, but if there's anyone else, if there's no Pasuk, if the Pasuk doesn't have him, so he's the other thing. That's also satisfies the idea. I guess I was just saying, it's teaching you when they codified, because that's this whole thing, is they codified this mitzvah, codified your learning of Torah Shebachsav to Torah Shebachsav to Torah. So did they codify the text, or they left the text open? They left it to be open to any Tirgum. And that's what it's teaching you, is they really left it open. They didn't codify the particular, and therefore, I feel Torah Shebachsav, even that possibly you do a Tirgum, because there is a Tirgum on it. So you should do that.